Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is on Caid Drama by Johnny Kilvaik. Read now, Os Gaeilge an Os Berla by Aegán O'Riordan.
Chum di a drama galán nior, agus hug sé part an do galore, drama father starch a moor, an down. She di a chum an tragod stara, agus rinne sé leidur den vocal bara, tam kinche glan gamin sé garda fin a stordacht. Chum sé drama le mulun rark, agus rinne sé leidur de ar na nark, chul an chortin as ar rark na he story. Le rian sé féin a grama, agus tugan sé na torri ag dera an ama, fain an leidur na dini kama, a quenian sé féin na dini manla, na gashtuk. Tam a farza tiva hart, ag niro na fokalama gyart, har fór na nungsklacht is o smacht, ag ton a torri fós le jacht, chail me markana. Nil fanta nishok mir vyogela, no gaditi an kurchin shias, Chucky and drama aig le fuirin ella, agus fog for misha, ag an shola an relig. Mas ugni an vir a tall a chacht, na an rark dera a dimig heart, in moi machiels ma viaur o smacht, agus skilchi an cree, in malor fui hacht, le ugnus. Turhi an doctor suus a chas, is fog for misha, ag an mas. God composed the drama Valley of Tears, and to many he gave a part, a long drama on the biggest stage, the world. It was God who composed this historic tragedy, and he made the devil the prompter. I'm sure that he is laughing at the acting. He composed the drama with a million scenes, and he made the devil a prompter, behind the curtain, out of sight from the listeners. He directs the drama and marks you in the fullness of time. The prompter gets the bad ones, but he keeps the good ones. How strange. My part is nearly over, but I never had words right, off tempo and without control, but the results still have to come. I'm sure I lost marks. All I have left is a small part until the curtains come down. The drama will then be played by another troupe, and I'll be left with an address at the graveyard. If the part to come is as lonely as the scene gone by, I will lose my mind, and my heart will break 7 times over with loneliness. The doctor will put away his briefcase and leave me to death.
And that was On Caid Drama by Sean O'Cussola, otherwise known as Johnny Kilvaik. And it was read there wonderfully in both languages by Senator Aegán O'Riordan, and Aidan is sitting across from me now in the studio. Thanks very much for coming in, Aidan.
No problem, Morgan.
Aidan, tell us a little bit about that poem On Caid Drama.
Well, yeah, I think I'm not sure if it's a kind of a poem that I would generally that would attract me. It seems to come from somebody's maybe religious belief towards the end of their lives, as to reflecting back on what life is like, and again the. Maybe a kind of a well-known comparison between life being a stage sounds a bit Elvis-like, and there's always the. I mean, I did Irish and UCD as my primary degree, and we always used to have this conversation about translations of Irish poems into English. You know, the English never really flows very well. Mm. You're working off the Irish. You're trying to make it. You're trying to make it sort of relate to the original text, but then trying to make it good as a poem in and of itself, and it rarely works. So you can only really work off the poem as is, Os Gaeilge. But yeah, still, it's interesting to see his perspective on possibly an individual looking back on his days.
We were speaking briefly off air there about your own relationship with Irish poetry and Irish drama and Irish in the arts, because it's a very small pool, Irish language writers, Irish language artists, a very small audience to work with. I mean, poetry is a small audience in general. Irish language poetry, smaller again. And you were talking about some of the poets that you came across during your time in studying.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us would have gone into... I went into UCD in 1994, and I would have gone to Gaelscoil locally here, Gaelscoil Media. My parents don't have any Irish. There's no Irish in my family. There's no real huge interest in the language. But I went to Gaelscoil for sixth class, to repeat sixth class. I was too young to go to secondary school. And then what happens is that you get good at it and then you begin to enjoy it. And it was something I did well in secondary school, and I decided to pursue it, went to the Gaelscoil and all the rest of it as a secondary school student. And then, I suppose, going into UCD and deciding to study it, it was more really to be good at the language. And maybe a lot of us were thinking kind of, you know, it was important because it was Irish and we were Irish and we wanted to be better at this language. But then it really opens up your minds. There's maybe a sense for people who don't understand the language or what's written in the language, that it's maybe a very conservative language or a very conservative set of people who are very nationalistic and very narrow-minded. But that's not the case. And coming across, you know, poets like Cathal O'Sharkey, Gabriel Rosenstock, Michael Davitt, Liam O'Murchla, you know, even Sean O'Riordan, and the themes that they were talking about and writing about are quite revolutionary, you know. And this was something that was a real eye opener for me, and particularly working with people who are looking at Cathal O'Sharkey's poetry, for somebody in college in the early 90s. To be reading poetry from somebody in Irish about being gay in Ireland was a real eye-opener. This is 1994. This is the time when, you know, homosexuality had just been decriminalised. It became for me an interest then in poetry for its own merit and drama for its own merit, and not just the Irish language. And it really it opened my mind to the whole world. And I think Irish gave me a love for language, which was able to translate into all sorts of different languages.
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea that Irish served as the springboard into the arts instead of the other way around.
Yeah, and that was my own experience. I mean, but still, it's a language I return to quite often, and I even, as an early young man, wrote a few plays, Oscuelga, that went on stage in the Tarbiar and Goy. Yeah.
And they were two plays on stage.
Yeah, so there was, I think I was writing a play about, it was kind of inspired by Sean O'Riordan and this idea of Bawalam Erebel Spadoiga, I'd love to catch a sparrow's tail. And this idea of a writer and a young writer and being obsessed with himself and being very... introverted. And anyway, I wrote a play called Quetcha Fuelan, which is actually a seagull's feather, which wouldn't be as sort of as
difficult to catch as a sparrow.
Well, it wouldn't be as on the same spiritual level as a sparrow's tail, if you like.
There was a Chekhov play called The Seagull.
There was. All these themes were kind of interwoven.
Very European.
Bit of a Chekhov fan. Anyway, so I remember writing it and throwing it into an envelope and being embarrassed as I threw it into the post. And I got a phone call a couple of months later saying, we're having this festival of first-time writers and we'd like to put your thing on with others. And that was a real thrill to go away to see your own. It's funny when you do a bit of writing and you do it, and it's a very, very lonely space, and you're very much in by yourself and your own thoughts, and you're putting it down. And I actually wrote it in Irish, probably because I know so nobody would understand it. Because you write in English, everybody would understand it. You write in Irish, not so many people would. So there's a kind of there's a safety valve there, you know. So anyway, it went on and it got reviewed and all the rest of it. And then I wrote another one and that was put on as well. So it was something I enjoyed, and I haven't really returned to it since because I've been busy in other things and that. But
and we are actually talking about Johnny Quilvaic this week because we are commemorating, it is now, 113 years since the Abbey Theatre was founded in Dublin. And we're commemorating that wonderful occasion with this wonderful poem this week. And just... we can't forget that while this series celebrates poetry, we're also using poetry as a medium to celebrate important dates in our calendar. The Abbey Theatre was founded on the 20th of August 1904 by W.B. Yeats and Lady Augusta Gregory. Its precursors were the Irish Literary Theatre and Frank and Willie Fay's National Dramatic Society. With patronage from Miss Annie Horniman, premises were purchased on Old Abbey Street, and on December 27th, 1904, the Abbey Theatre opened its doors for the first time, opening with three now iconic one-act plays, spreading the news by Lady Gregory and from W.B. Yeats himself on Balliol Strand and the infamous Kathleen Ni Houlihan. From the Playboy riots to the lean Ernest Blythe years, right up to Waking the Feminist and Panty Bliss's Noble Call, the Abbey has remained arguably Ireland's foremost cultural institution and has undoubtedly played a very large part in placing Ireland centre stage in world culture. Going back to the Abbey, you know, you were talking about nationalistic trends and nationalistic ideas that get people into the Irish language. What about the cultural nationalism of the Abbey? You have to think, you know, we can't understate the importance of the Abbey Theatre. Like, this was the first state-subsidised theatre in the English-speaking world, you know, which is a massive, really.
Yeah, I think it's only when you go abroad and you go to somewhere like the States and you try and buy a ticket to a show in the States, you realise it's about $100. What a wonderful theatrical or drama space we have in Dublin. Mm-hmm. That tickets aren't as expensive as that. It is somewhere that you can go and access. There's always a lot of complaint mm-hmm. as the type of plays that go on, and, you know, a lot of repetition of the type of artists that are.
Last time I checked, though, it was €13 for a student ticket in the Abbey.
That's pretty accessible stuff for a live show. That's. You know, you can't really argue with that, you know.
No.
But having said that, if you look what happened to the 1916 programme and Waking the Feminists,
yeah,
that sort of uprising would have been probably dampened down pretty successfully 20 years previously.
Mm.
Maybe only now we're in the space to go, actually, no, it's not good enough to have an entire programme dominated by men. And it's funny. Listen to Rachel Lysett, for example, who's a filmmaker, saying that the stories in Ireland, like 75% of the filmmakers are men, therefore 75% of the stories that are being told are told by men. So Ireland's story is still being told through a male lens. So yeah. It is important when you have a 1916 commemorative programme and all the writers and directors seem to be men, that that's not balanced. And I think the Waking the Feminist movement was interesting to me because I sat in the audience that day when they gave their presentations about, and it was like a whole world of hurt that nobody had ever spoken of before, that nobody had ever tapped into before. This one email sent by Leanne Bell had just exploded a whole nerve of nervous system of pain that had been out there from young female or not so young female people in this industry who've been trying to break through and always felt as if there was a glass ceiling. And the energy in that room that day, the Abbey was packed, every speech got thunderous applause, and I remember thinking, this is, you know, the Abbey's never going back after this. So that was interesting, and in fairness to Fiach Mac Éineil, he embraced it, and there are things embedded now in the policies of the National Theatre. But only a National Theatre can do that. You know, another theatre potentially who is, you know, more interested in staying alive is not going to. It's going to go, well, listen, that's all very well, but that doesn't fill, you know, that doesn't fill the fill the audience. But a National Theatre, when you do have the national subsidy, does have that space to engage in that. So we need to hear the voices of, you know, the travelling people in Ireland, the voices of people living in direct provision, need to be voices of people who are in addiction. It can be a very much almost like sometimes a Marion Finucane panel of you know, Middle Ireland travails. But I still think there's the theatrical space, the artistic space, is the only place we're ever going to hear that. And when people say to me, "Is that, well, the arts, you know, it's a bit elitist and it's kind of, you know, you don't really, it's not as important as bread and butter stuff." Well, to be honest, where is somebody from the travelling community, or somebody who's sucked into addiction, or somebody from the LGBT community, or somebody who's a migrant or a refugee, going to find a space to talk about their hurt? It won't be in mainstream media, because they won't get it. They won't get on the show. They just won't, because they don't have the access. They don't have the power. But they will always have that power in the arts, if the arts gives them that opportunity.
Aegán O'Riordan was first elected to Dublin City Council in 2004 and is currently a sitting senator. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.